Father, we thank you for this great morning, and we do thank you for your great faithfulness. Lord, we have celebrated the past, the present, and we want to talk even a little bit this morning about the future. Thank you for your hand of blessing upon this church, Bethel. Thank you for all of those that have taken part this morning. But Lord, now as we turn to your word, even for a short time, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would change us and mold us and shape us into the likeness of your Son. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the red letters. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to do what you need to do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. We having fun this morning? Yes? All right. Everybody doing good? All right. Matthew 6 here in just a few minutes. One of the most popular sayings over the past decade is YOLO. Anybody heard of it? You know what it stands for? You only live once. And obviously the idea behind it is, hey, you only get one life. You only get one shot at this. Don't waste it. I agree with YOLO. There's truth to this statement. It is, in fact, that you only live once, although I believe in a little bit of a twist to it, and that is it's forever, for all eternity. We were created for eternity. Amen? And depending on how you interpret YOLO will determine whether you focus your time and your attention and your money and your energy. It will impact what you're passionate about, your commitment level, your drive. It will affect your decisions and your choices. And we have two ways to look at this word YOLO, or this idea. Your life is temporary and it's all about the here and now. Or YOLO, you live here and now, but your life is about eternity. Treasures on earth, verse 19. Follow along as I read. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to look at verse 19 first. Treasures on earth. Let's talk about that for just a second. Earthly treasures, man, they have the potential to exercise this great power over us. Treasures have the potential to control our thoughts, our time, our behavior, our decisions, where we direct our energy. Ultimately, earthly treasures can determine the direction in life if we let them. What's an earthly treasure? According to this passage, an earthly treasure is anything of gain. It's something that we have such great value and such high regard for that we'll protect it at all costs. Imagine for a moment that we, right here in America, imagine just this for a second, that we experience an economic collapse, not a recession, but a collapse. And it's every man for himself, so to speak. And the government comes along, this is all hypothetical, of course, and they give you an 8x12 trailer. And they said, you can put whatever you want in this trailer, but whatever you put in the trailer is all that you have, and you have to live according. What's in your trailer? Would you agree that whatever you put in the trailer would be the things that are most important to you? Now, I want you to kind of just process this mentally. Now, remove from the trailer all of the things that are God-centered and everything that is focused on eternity. Take all of those things out of the trailer. In other words, those things that would go in your eternal treasure chest that we'll talk about in a second. Then ask the question, what's left? It's where the rubber meets the road in life. It's possible that some of what is left in the trailer has little, if anything, to do with God. Would you agree? I know that there would be plenty of stuff left in my trailer that would have nothing to do with God and absolutely would not have an eternal focus. What's the motivation of filling our earthly treasure chest? I'm motivated to fill my earthly treasure chest when I have this minimized view of YOLO, when I think that my life is all about the here and now. Maybe you can resonate with a couple of these things, but I want it now. I want the pleasure of my efforts now. I want to experience happiness now. I want to enjoy life now. I want to make money and spend money and feel important and be valuable and get noticed and leave a mark and make a name for myself and accomplish the unthinkable now. I don't want to wait. That's YOLO. Because we want to have cool things, be accepted, portray a certain image, maybe, I don't know. Be well liked, forget later. I want it now. And then we're confronted with these red letters, like the series we've been going through of Jesus when he says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. If we set our intent on being successful, looking good, selfishly enjoying life, the truth is this. Let's just be really honest here, okay? If we do those things, we run the risk of forgetting God. The scripture says, do not store up. Here's what that means. It's a phrase that means to reserve or to lay up or to hoard for yourself. The word treasure means a deposit. It means to accumulate. A treasure is, at least in our opinion, something that is very precious and very valuable. And while there may be things in the treasure chest here on the earth that we feel are of value, none of them will ever enter the presence of God. Bill Gates will stand in the same line as a homeless person. Warren Buffett's going to stand in the same line as Andy Veith. The day we stand before the Lord, our bank accounts will be empty. And some of you maybe are thinking, well, I got a head start on that, right? There's not going to be any titles. We won't be placed in lines according to our status, achievements, positions of power. We will present ourselves literally like this. Empty-handed, nothing. In the end, everything we own, everything we have accomplished, every title, every possession, everything that we've worked so hard for stays here. Jesus says at the end of verse 19, it might be an earthly treasure if it can be eaten by moths, if it can rust, or if somebody can take it from you. What is it in your life that if Jesus came to you and he says, I want you to give that to me, or I want you to give that up, or let's take that away from your life, what is it in your life right now that you would go, oh, I just all of a sudden got selective hearing, Jesus. What did you say again? Because that helps us to understand what are the things that we are putting such importance and value on. But it really goes into our earthly treasure chest. You've heard this said before, but I think it's a great reminder. It's not wrong to possess things. We all have things in this life. It's wrong for things to possess us. And that's the risk that we run, isn't it? As a follower of Christ, there's only one thing that ought to possess you. You know what that is, right? That is God. He bought you with a hefty price. You and I, we were very, very, very expensive. He paid the price. He goes on in verse 20 and he says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, rather than fill this earthly treasure chest, fill your eternal treasure chest. Maybe we're asking the wrong question in life. Instead of asking, what will make me look good? What will make me feel good? What will help me get ahead? What will make me happy? Maybe we ought to be asking, what will last forever? What is it that will last forever? What will fill my treasure chest in heaven, in eternity? The treasures found in heaven are free from decay and theft. They're not material things that can be eaten by moths. What Jesus is bringing to our attention are those things that are of eternal value. Now let me just say this. None of the material things we have here on this earth, as I said a second ago, will enter into heaven. But some of them will pay great dividends. What I mean is, let's use a house for example. Is having a house bad? Of course not. We all need a house. We have to have a place to live. But in the end, the house will be destroyed. But how we used our house will determine which treasure chest is getting filled. Does that make sense? For whose glory are you using the things that you have? If you live thinking that you own all that you have, your earthly treasure chest is going to be overflowing. I once heard a person tell me that they had heard a number of years ago this idea of exactly what I'm talking about. When it clicked in their mind and in their heart, wait a minute, I don't own the things that I have. God owns everything. It sounds simple, but it radically changed this person's life. When you live as though God owns everything that you have, literally owns, your treasure chest in eternity and in heaven will be overflowing. What other things are of eternal value? Doing good works. You're like, well, hold on. Is this a church with good works? Salvation? That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm not talking about going out and doing great things and helping people and helping somebody across the street or giving somebody money, or I'm not talking about those things. As though we're going to earn favor or recognition from God. Oh, God, look, did you see that? Did you see me? Look what I did. I'm talking about good works that are prepared in advance for you to do as a result of the fact that you're a child of God and that you're saved. I'm talking about good works as a result of salvation, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. He has good works prepared for in advance for you to do. Guess what happens when you do those things? Cha-ching, your eternal treasure chest is getting filled. When you suffer for Christ, or when you're persecuted, as the scripture says, your eternal treasure chest is getting filled. When you forgive, as hard as it might be, but the scripture calls us to do so, a deposit is made. When you offer mercy, when you really want to give them wrath, but scripture teaches us to be merciful, treasure chest is getting filled. When you offer grace and give them what they don't deserve, treasure chest is getting filled. When you raise your kids according to the word of God, your treasure chest is getting filled. When you remain in a faithful covenant relationship with your spouse, your treasure chest is getting filled. When we live with gratitude towards God, cha-ching. When we sacrifice, cha-ching. None of those things will be eaten by moss, nor will they rust, nor can anybody take those things from you. They will all pass the eternal test and be found to have eternal value. All of those things. We are filling our eternal treasure chest right now. So Jesus is challenging us, saying, YOLO. Make all that you have count for all eternity. You know, we as a church have been filling an eternal treasure chest for 125 years. We as a church have had our eyes fixed on eternal things, not perfectly by any means. But the focus of this church has been and still is and will be centered on Christ Jesus and the Word of God. And that is the reason that we're able to gather and celebrate today. It has taken tremendous sacrifice and generosity of the people of Bethel Church to be able to come up here and take a mortgage and put it on top of a candle and burn it. Cha-ching. Our eternal treasure chest is getting filled. Verse 21 through 23, treasures in the heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let me just finish here. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both money and God. For where your treasure is, in other words, that which you value most, there will be your heart. Luther once said this, what a man loves, that is his God. There's some things left to this quote, but even just that first part, I mean, just ponder that. What a man loves, that is his God. Wow. For he carries it in his heart. He goes about with it night and day. He sleeps and wakes with it, be it what it may, wealth or pleasure or renown. What a man loves, that is his God. The entire point that Jesus is making here in verse 21 is this. The very things that we treasure in our life most, they occupy our heart, which is the center of our personality and mind and emotions and will. This resulting in our treasures controlling our entire direction in life, potentially. So as you can see, treasures can be a very serious issue. They control us because they control our heart. Like the old saying goes, show me a man's treasure and I'll show you his heart. If his treasure is here on earth, there will be his focus, time, resources, and energy. If his treasures are in heaven, there will be his focus, time, resources, and energy. But he goes on and he says this, no man can serve two masters. The word master means this, to belong wholly and to be entirely under command to. That's pretty serious. two masters. One of our treasures will be the result of what enslaves us. We'll either serve one or the other, but we cannot serve both. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. We cannot be a slave to both earthly treasures and eternal treasures. It's impossible. That's what the word of God says. So if our affections are directed towards one, in other words, our affections are focused on one, then by necessity, we have to hate the other. That's what the Bible says. We cannot love both earthly treasures and at the same time treasures of heaven. That would be impossible. Where love for one exists, hate for another must also exist. Again, though we have not done it perfectly, God has used this church. And there will be tremendous dividends in our eternal treasure chest because of your faithfulness. And I didn't do this first service, but I just personally want to say thank you to all of you who have been so faithful and have sacrificed so much to even get us to this point today where we can burn a mortgage. Do you know how few of churches do that? We have something to celebrate. But I also want to tell you something else. We've celebrated the past. We've celebrated the present. But I'm going to tell you this. We're not done. God's not done with Bethel Church. We didn't burn a mortgage to all of a sudden lay back and go, oh man, thank goodness we arrived, right? Let's all get comfortable now and enjoy the ride. We're not done. God is just beginning. He's just beginning. Look around. Look at all the little kids in this auditorium. You think he's done? He's not done. One day they're going to be sitting here as adults and celebrating God's faithfulness. He's nowhere close to being done. Well, there's some exciting things happening that I want to tell you about this morning. Just take a couple minutes. Back in January, I preached a two-week mini-series on vision of what I believe where God has taken us. That's what vision does. It answers the question, where are we going now? And I want to say, as I did last January, would you just say a word with me? Potential? Just say, thank you. Because whenever you share vision, people go, oh, you said we were going to do that, and we're going to potentially. Okay, everybody with me? These are potential things. I mentioned Stephen Ministry. Stephen Ministry equips lay people to provide one-to-one Christian care to people in our congregation who are experiencing difficulties in their lives. So in June, we're sending 3 people for national training. They'll come back and they'll be leaders, and they'll come back and they'll start equipping some of you to be Stephen ministers and training you how to care for one another. It's a phenomenal ministry that many churches that have it speak very highly of, and we're hoping that many of you will get involved in that. Upward Sports, I mentioned that in January. Several of you were very excited about that. I want to tell you where that's at since. So we've been doing a lot of research. Who's heard of Upward Sports? You all need to raise your hand, because if you're here in January, you heard of it. I talked about it in January, right? You've all heard of Upward Sports, right? If you were here in January. Upward Sports is a faith-based sporting program that reaches out into the community along with Bethel, and we reach out into the community. It builds bridges, and we're looking at starting Upward Sports. I got a team formed this meeting in 10 days, and we're going to start this initial work to kind of set into motion the possible... excuse me. The possible... Man, I'm 50. That's, whew. Maybe I'm getting a little excited. The possible launch of Upward Sports in the fall. And so what that means is churches that start Upward Sports, like we might start with 100 kids, and then it goes to 200, to 300, to 400, to 500. That's how fast Upward Sports typically grows. We're looking at starting basketball and maybe some other things. So keep your eyes and ears open. Be listening for that, because we're going to need some of you to help coach, right? Dads, moms, coach, and help us in that way. And kids, if you like basketball, get ready for that. Recovery Church, I mentioned that. I said that one of the things that we could do is become a church that where we bring in fallen or wounded pastors and families or ministry workers and families, and they kind of come in incognito, and they come into our midst, and we kind of bless them and serve them for a period of 2 years, helping them to be restored and recover and renew. And so we are now a recovery church according to the Evangelical Free Church of America. We're on the list, so at any time we could get a phone call and say, hey, I've got this person or this family. Can they come and be a part of your church? Most of you won't even know that they're here when it happens, but what a blessing that we could be as a church. Here's a new one for you. I mentioned this first service. Several people got pretty excited about this one. You ready for a new one? Are you guys with me? All right. a counseling center. We're in the thick of exploring the possibility of a Bethel counseling center where we could eventually offer counseling for men, women, children, and couples. It might start small, but I envision that it would grow very quickly. There's been a lot of exploring and work done regarding this new ministry. And if the Lord continues to lead, we potentially could launch that in the near future. That's a pretty exciting one. One project at a time. It's a new philosophy. Now that we have our mortgage paid off, what will we do next? Well, we have this list of capital things that we need to do with the facility, repairs that need to take place. Maybe you've noticed the parking lot's been redone. That would be an example of one of those. So the elders and the admin council got together and like, well, how do we address these things now that the mortgage is paid off? And so they kind of worked it out and agreed that the elders would decide the next project. So whatever that project is, and then people could give to that above and beyond like you did with the mortgage to help pay it off. So the elders would decide that, okay? Well, I'm here to tell you that the next project has been decided, and I'm going to tell you what it is. But before I do that, I want you to understand how the elder board works. So the way that that works is because the elders make the decision, it's Robert's Rules of Order, if you're familiar with that. So somebody has to make a motion, somebody makes a second, right? And then there's discussion, and then you vote. This particular elder board was kind of ugly. It was messy. Guys were fighting to make the first motion and the second. It's kind of a sick thing because they wanted their name in the minutes in case their wife read the minutes. Because they wanted to be able to show, you know, hey, honey, look, I fought for this for years. They wanted their name. And it's a good thing we're starting a counseling ministry. But the new project is this. Can you do a drum roll? Do you know what the new project is? It's the remodel of the main kitchen. Okay, that was weak, because I can change this. I could pick a new project if you want, but are we excited about the remodel? Yeah, who gets it? Yeah, it's going to be cool, though. That's great. If you would like to make a donation above and beyond your regular giving, you can give to the kitchen remodel starting today. And you would just write on your check or your envelope above and beyond kitchen remodel. And that would be awesome. Today we celebrate not only the light of Christ in the past, not only the light of Christ in the present, we celebrate because the light of Christ is still burning bright. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this great morning, and we just truly do celebrate your goodness, your faithfulness, and your generosity. And Lord, as we just share and encourage each other in fellowship, thank you for leading us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this is your church, that we don't have to make things up and we don't have to figure things out. Lord, that you use us, we're humbled, that you would use this church to change lives. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.